Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 28th on the West Coast, now April the 29th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world as well. Unfortunately, I have to begin tonight's show with a sad note. And that is that the evangelical icon known throughout the world for his many, many accurate prophecies and his call to people around the world to turn to God and mend their ways, repent and seek God's mercy with all the insanity going on in the world, Pastor David Wilkinson passed away Wednesday. He was killed in a collision on a highway east of Dallas, Texas. Evidently, he strayed over the center line, crashing into an 18-wheeler, and he and his wife, Gwen, were killed. So our prayers go out to the people at the Times Square Church and certainly the family of Pastor David Wilkerson. I understand that his son Gary is going to be taking over the head ministerial duties of the organization. I just found out the news a few minutes before showtime, and I was myself shocked. David Wilkerson led me to much of the truth about what was going on in the religious community, if you want to call it that. Today they call it the religious industry. One of the things he preached against was this New Age prosperity preaching, which is basically trust yourself, you're going to make a lot of money, and when you do, you can give it to God. I've always countered that sort of teaching as being hollow, actually not spiritual at all. And when you contemplate the immensity of the universe and then listen to someone who's preaching and teaching young children and adults that the creator of the universe somehow has a cash flow problem, there is something not quite right about the message. God certainly doesn't and never has had a cash flow problem. In fact, he doesn't even need it. So to brainwash people into thinking that he does is the first mistake. And those individuals that teach and preach that type of message will eventually have to make compensation for their own misdeeds. And when you're misleading a lot of people, millions of people down the wrong path, a path to self-destruction, and one that smacks of evil and magic, then you're going to have to pay for it. David Wilkerson was not such an individual. And so our prayers go out to him, his family, and those members of his congregation who we know will miss him. The person that told me about this event actually was led to the Lord and strengthened in his own spiritual convictions by David Wilkerson. So that word goes out. Please pray for these people. Now, we have a guest this evening who's going to be coming on shortly. I had picked out a rather gospel-oriented tune prior to learning the knowledge of the message I just delivered to you. And I'm going to stick with this. It's a celebration song. It's called My Old School.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that was the Yellow Jackets. And yes, Bob Mincer on the saxophone, Russell Ferrante on the piano, Jimmy Haslip on bass, and Will Kennedy on drums. What a fantastic group. And My Old School from their album Yellow Jackets. Now, this was a live performance in Europe at Ona Filter. Without filter, that means, and it's a popular jazz club in Europe. And the feel to that song, I don't know why I picked that song. And then I got that phone message, and I thought, now I'm supposed to play this music. This is something that's going to tie our message together, no doubt. I failed to mention that David Wilkerson also founded World Challenge, which addressed many of the issues, the problems of gangs and drug influences in the cities, the inner cities. And David Wilkerson was a champion of that cause and led many people around the planet to face those responsibilities. And I'm not talking about these charities where they keep 80 to 90% of what they take in and send 10% to Africa or to South America to some orphanage that they own. This is a man that was living his spiritual convictions, and I'm sure when he talks to God about Earth, he'll say something along the lines of, well, at my old school. So, again, pray for David Wilkerson, if you will. Tonight's guest comes to us by way of educate-yourself.org, where his essays are published by Ken Adachi. And I was introduced to him through Ken, and I found that a lot of what he was writing was right in sync, in step with my own research and my own intuition on what's going on in the world. And I love having him with us. We've been having a couple of communication problems, so we're going to try another way of contacting him. So, Seth, if you're paying attention here, I'm giving you another means of reaching our other guest, if you can add him to the call here. If you can't, you got to let me know, and we'll have to try again. I'm at a disadvantage here. Technical issues do come up from time to time, and this is one of them. So while we're awaiting Z.S. Livingstone, I think we have another guest waiting in the wings, and we'll try to bring him on. He hosts the website where Z.S. Livingstone's works are published. It's called educate-yourself.org. He himself is a journalist, editor, webmaster, and a practicing metaphysician and very well-rounded in that area, very knowledgeable about the New World Order conspiracy and everything that's attached to it, going back even thousands of years. His name is Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much for having me on again. A pleasure to be back.
I'm glad you could make it. We're having trouble hooking up with ZS, so hopefully Seth is trying to make that connection now. Seth, if you're listening, please try the other number we gave you here, and we'll see if we can get him back on board. How's it been going with you, Ken?
Well, okay. I've been trying to concentrate on catching up on some work, and I've been in communication with CS, for instance, of late, and a number of remarkable things have occurred. He's currently attending a conference, so he's not at home at the moment, but some very interesting and, let's say, positive developments have taken place in the last few days. I wrote a brief, very short piece I put up a couple of days ago, and I titled it The Satanic Siege of London Has Been Broken. And I don't know if you've had the chance to see it, but I got a report from the team of people that I refer to as the Etheric Resistance, and they have been doing yeoman's work over the past few months. I usually don't publicly write about what's being done because it works to their advantage not to telegraph what their intentions are to the other side, but they accomplished something that's really unusual, and there is a, let's say, a lessening of the ability of the dark side to have complete hegemony over our lives. And something very profound happened just a few days ago in London. So I wrote about that. And I think these events, in this case, these events are transpiring in another dimension other than the one you and I are in. But as I mentioned in my essay, that much takes place in what we call the astral realm of the Illuminati, the New World Order gang. They always have been active in this world and never more so than today. So much of what they do is not exactly done in the third dimension. And they have the same sort of players that are able to travel in the astral dimension, or at least project their consciousness and do all kinds of dark things, mostly involved with black magic. So the etheric team, as I refer to them, has been, let's say, undoing, or at least helping to negate the negative work that's being done on the astral plane. And, you know, the Illuminati and all their minions use psychics, they use black magicians all the time. And they try to affect their will through a way which most people can't even recognize, let alone defend.
Mm-hmm.
But this work that I'm referring to has been recently taking place in England. The etheric team has done work in other places around the world, here in America and Australia, etc. But of late, they've been concentrating on breaking this satanic infestation in England, and recently in London. So I put up a one-pager about it. If I recommend people should read it. I can't get into great detail other than to say that particularly the people in England and most of all in London should, I'm assuming, notice some positive things. They might notice the vibes have changed in London. I don't know. I'm not there. And so I'm hoping I get some feedback from people who are there. But, you know, when we have an effect on the chemtrails and we have some help to disperse them, the sylphs, etc., or even the etheric team themselves about a year and a half ago had did work which made quite a difference in the chemtrail operations, that a lot of people reported positive effects. And I'm hoping that we hear from some people, especially in London, now that they're, you know, the royal wedding's coming up tomorrow, I guess, in just a few hours, in fact, because here I'm on the west coast of the United States and California, so I think it's going to start for us here on the Pacific time. It's going to start around 2 a.m., the royal wedding. So these events, which I just reported on a couple of days ago, were really done in anticipation of the wedding. The reason is that the royal weddings involving the British royal family have more things are going on than what we're seeing on the TV screen. There's more than just a beautiful wedding with a great deal of formality and pomp and all that. There are black magic rituals tied in with the ceremony. And the team had told me that this marriage of royalty to the land has been hobbling the people of England for many, many centuries. And that they recently played a role in freeing what was described to me as a sort of a land deity of England by the name of Britannica. We've often heard that word in various British songs, and we know there's a woman sitting on a throne that you can see on old English coins, on English flags, etc. So there's a long tradition of this person, this being referred to as Britannica. Anyway, I was told that this party, of course, on a fourth dimension level, I'm not talking about it in this space, in this time frequency, but in the fourth dimensional level, this entity is real and had been in captivity of sorts for many, many centuries. I was given the date. I just can't remember when, but it certainly goes back to the Middle Ages. And they had succeeded in freeing this individual. And much was gleaned from those conversations. And I found out that the royal wedding coming up, there was an intention to rebind this entity to captivity, because they essentially want to marry William's soul, as it was told me, to the land. And in so doing, they sort of create a contract, if you will, between the land and the royalty who's being bound to the land, mm-hmm. so that they can kind of have this this power structure that goes beyond the third dimension. And the work that was done just a few days ago essentially removed all the demonic power base that the royal family depends on in London to maintain their power structure there on this level. I'm talking about a higher dimensional level. And in so doing, they're going to have a very hard time trying to pull off this rebinding of William's soul to the land, which will be part of the ceremony. Of course, we, as observers, we won't see anything or hear anything of this, but I think something very useful and beneficial to to the people of England has just occurred just a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Ken. We're trying to reestablish connection against Livingstone, here, and I think we have him, but
yes,
we're getting a lot of background noise here, so we got ZS. You miss us.
I'm running to be closer to the Wi-Fi for this resort hotel. Mm-hmm. It seems like everybody turned their computer on.
Okay, we just lost CS's voice. He may drop off or anyway, we'll hang in there. Sorry to interrupt you, Ken, but go ahead.
I'm anxious to have ZS join in. I was really looking forward to him doing the bulk of the show tonight. I just wanted to make a few comments because he has some very important things to relay, and he's more of an expert in this area than I am, so mm-hmm. His commentary is going to be useful. But I want to shift it back to you a little bit because you have important and valuable insights in this arena. And what I'm getting at is that people's desires and intentions that they express through their will, and above all, voice through their, well, it's prayers. There's no other proper words to describe it. When people voice an intention to achieve a goal, and particularly when you direct that desire towards the life force, towards the Creator, towards God, or towards any representative, if you will, of the higher spiritual realm, saints, Jesus, other spiritually advanced souls that we know about, your intentions will be greatly amplified and multiplied. And those who are resisting the New World Order by not succumbing to doom and gloom type of agitations that we encounter every day on the internet. Recently, we had almost a 6-7-8 week long psyops about the deadly radiation emanating from Fukushima in Japan and how it's going to be a nuclear winter. Well, I have to remind you, and they did the Gulf false flag operation. The same sort of websites that were ringing the doom and gloom bells were saying that, my God, the whole Gulf Stream is going to be dead and the Gulf of Mexico is going to be dead, overplaying it excessively. That's what the Illuminati was trying to do. And they're trying to do that now with the radiation scare and all those who promote it and buy into it and sell it. We have to not allow those stories to get us down, because a lot of people do become depressed and upset and adopt a defeatist attitude. And you don't win a struggle by going there. And those who keep a positive outlook and above all use their mind can effect change. And the sort of work the etheric resistance does is fueled by the positive intention and thoughts of others. So that's sort of the lead-in I wanted to hand to you, because I know you have some comments along this line.
Yeah, okay. Well, we may have ZS back, but before we determine if he's got a solid signal, I'm going to play a clip here. This is a short clip. I don't know if you've listened to any of my shows during the past week, but I found a very interesting YouTube video where someone took three distinct incidents occurring in Los Angeles, Wisconsin, and Japan via a TV network in Toronto, Canada. In other words, these are field reporters who are answering the beck and call of the in-studio TV anchors. You know how they say, well, Bob Johnson is out there in the field, and he's there amongst the demonstrators, and he's going to give us a live report there. Bob, take it away, you know, and then they begin telling you what's going on. Well, the first event is at the Grammys, which is kind of interesting. And then if you can figure out the rest of what's happening, which you'll be able to some extent, you're going to hear two distinct languages being spoken during a newscast. One is English, and my intuition told me that the other was reptilian. Now, you're talking about the etheric resistance coming against this force, and this may absolutely be evidence that this is going on. So if you're ready, Ken, I'll play this clip here, and this is going to be a kick for someone hearing it for the first time.
Okay. Great.
So here we go.
Aston is live at the Staples Center with highlights and backstage coverage we're seeing for the very first time. Saree.
Well, a very, very heavy heavy debatation tonight. We had a very Darrison fight. Let's go to Terrace Chasen for the bit. They have the pit.
Gazette. Thanks, Margo. Well, Wisconsin has officially joined 25 other states in a lawsuit against President Obama's health care reform law. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen says Wisconsin is the latest state, including Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Ohio, and Wyoming, to join Florida's suit. The state claiming the exorcist saw Unchisracho and Pelay Brinritz by health urgent. President Obama will head to the...
So if it takes ground forces, it's going to be at ground forces.
Meaning it may have only just begun. Mark McAllister, Global News.
Now, Defense Minister McCain... McLeod did confirm today that more than 54 18 fighter jets are spending about as much as 20 and ready to assist the 100 deployed over the amount needed. Now, it did depend that how the NOLAN remerges RN, while the university or the UN mission as whole received support from all batteries in the hues of the gardens of today. Excuse me. I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Mark McAllister from Japan tonight.
Okay. Now, Ken, I don't know if that's the first time you heard that, but there were some identified words in this whole thing. These are reptilian words, and one of them is the word garbanz, dirty or filthy. Bertation, this is the word that the first young lady used there at the Grammys. And the word bertation means legal or legalistic, which I thought would be a very strange word to use when you're describing the gala affair of the Grammy Awards at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Habitake is a sanctuary. Un catreso, underground or hiding places. Anonsenenic is peace agreement. Then we have ertet, less available. In fact, she used the word health right before that. Health ertet, which is, I guess, less available health. Then we had Darsin, many people. Maybe she was describing many people there at the Grammys, or was that many people in the war in the Middle East? Exorcisk, a crazy person. Disrancho, a meeting place. Paras, justified. And there were some other words there. But it was identified as a reptilian dialect called Darain. So on that count, I was right, and we did announce that to I'm getting a message from ZS. I guess we're not going to be able to establish a connection with him. So, Ken, if you can hang by here, I want to talk about this a little bit and maybe just get some feedback as to what you heard here.
Sure.
Are we listening to a cyborg meltdown Might this be the work of the etheric resistance? And I say cyborg meltdown because we're hearing two distinct languages coming out of people who should not know this language unless they've, on some level, been taught to speak a reptilian dialect.
Wow.
What is your first impression?
Well, I didn't hear this until tonight, so I know you know this language so much because I think you told me the general has some knowledge of this language.
Yes, my knowledge of it is purely intuitive. I hear the words and I feel, you know, to whom they belong. Okay. And I've seen actually computer printouts of the language, and I recognize it as such as well. Much of the background programming that goes into images deals with their alphabet, which is quite extensive. It's symbolic, and it I'm sure it has much to do with mathematics as well. You know, it incorporates all the aspects of multimedia. So we can kind of look at computers as a gift from the reptilians or from more advanced beings in other parts of the universe, because they've been using them for quite some time, and their computers are much more advanced than ours. Even the banking system would be envious of the computer systems that are out there. Of course, they would use it for corrupt purposes, but they would be envious as to how powerful they are and really all the good work that gets accomplished. Now, as I mentioned before, we're trying to get a hold of ZS, but for whatever reason, the calls aren't going through. He says it's the Wi-Fi at the hotel. So evidently that's not going to work tonight. So we'll just have to wing it. But do you not find it strange that someone would suddenly break out into a off-planet language in the middle of a live newscast?
It's unbelievable. But the shape-shifting that we've seen on YouTube in the past 3 or 4 or 5 years is equally startling. It's amazing how few people can even understand what's taking place or recognize it. Many people tend to poo-poo it because they just aren't prepared to accept what they're seeing and hearing. But yeah, I had no idea what the woman was saying in the beginning. And I'm trying to, what? You know, and as you say, if that's reptilian dialogue, I mean, my God, this bleed through of the reptilian appearance and even talk—it's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is no noticeable video shape shifting here; it's all happening through the speech pathology and obviously something gone haywire in the brain, whether it's being influenced through some elf technology, or you know, consider that these could be cyborgs that we're listening to. They appear to be human. They sound human. They're talking like humans, up to a point. And
you know, I think you just hit something there that never occurred to me. I think you just hit something there.
Well, you want to expound on it a little?
No, well, actually, I was going to ask you because I never thought of that, but that makes sense. A glitch like that, yeah, I know they exist. I mean, I know they exist.
It could be a shape-shifting phenomenon, too. I'm not discounting that.
Yeah.
I refer to this as the real meltdown. This is the meltdown that the media has been talking about.
Yeah.
Not in Japan.
Well, yes.
So it's a, now there were more more of these out there. As far as playing them all tonight, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go there. Now, it's been a lot of talk about this birth certificate thing. I thought I put that to bed a couple of years ago. Certainly, the last issue of my Three Stooges Go to Washington, parts 7A and 7B, which were divided in half to make downloading much easier for anyone going to the website. But it's all one contiguous article dealing with all of the issues of the Hegelian dialectical argument that everybody has been given. And when Donald Trump came out recently and announced that he was going to hire some investigators, you know, you have to ask yourself, why is everybody doing this on the heels of these announcements that certain individuals are running for the U.S. presidency? Okay, they're starting their political campaign. Oh, well, let's throw a wrench in the works and let's get the Hegelian dialectical argument going again. You've got Obama and his wife both on videotape, and they're both describing how he was born in Kenya. He refers to Kenya as my home country. And she says, my husband was born in Kenya. Now, if the big issue is that he was born in Hawaii, and that's where the record is, and the record's sealed, and they've now released official announcement that he was born in Hawaii, why should we not arrest him for perjury for making public statements that he was born in Kenya? And her, for that matter. Or for all the identity fraud that he's committed using multiple Social Security numbers, for having a rash of parking tickets that sat on the dockets for over almost 20 years, actually. 19 years of parking tickets. Although he was claiming he went to a church in Chicago for 20 years, and actually it was about 15 or 15 and a half if his story was true. In fact, we're still not up to the 20 years yet. And back during the campaign in 2007 and 2008, they were saying the church he attended for 20 years. They began that in 2007. And in 2008, they didn't say 21 years. They kept it at 20 years. They kept the same lie going, even though the years were changing. Okay. And, of course, we had similar lies about who his mother was, who his father was, who his grandparents were, where he went to school, where he was born, where he grew up. It's nonsensical. And now they release, the White House releases a document that has been totally shredded apart by Photoshop experts who've discovered all the different levels of masking that have been used. And if you're making a photocopy of an original document from 1961 when they didn't have color photocopying, how could you produce a color version of that now in 2011? How can you produce color out of a black and white document? Now, right. We did that with the Lolo Satoru picture. You remember? I discovered that it was actually a color picture, and all I had to do was alter the color drive and the saturation on the picture, and the color restored from a black and white picture. That was the picture they posted on the internet, and I was able to restore the colors and show that that was a compilation. The reason they changed it to black and white is because they had to hide the fact that you could see where the images were blended together. It wasn't a very good job. Now, this new birth certificate with all of this fraudulent stock, paper stock that they're using, and the method in which this document has been totally manufactured, and not, again, not straight. The print is not perpendicular, okay, to the existing letterhead print. Nobody puts a piece of paper in a typewriter or in a computer and has all the text always skewed at an angle. But these people do that because it makes forensic examination a little bit difficult, and that's why they do that, to throw you off. But the real crux of the issue is the fictitious information in the fields. Forget about the paper, whether it's green or pink. I don't care. The lines that have the information are total fraudulent lies. The signatures are forged. And they've proven that somebody traced over the signature to make it a little bit darker, to make it look a little bit more original. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, you and I have talked about this on this show almost 100 times, I think, in the past few years. Does it surprise you at all, Ken, that they come out with this again?
No, he has nothing else to offer but another setup. They had lots of time, over 2 years now, to have their best of their best, concoct a what they'll say is a legitimate, quote, copy. There is no original birth certificate to copy.
Mm-hmm.
These are criminals who are simply have access to unlimited amount of money and the highest technology available to the human race.
They can't even use it very well, though, can they?
It's amazing how poorly their work. I mean, your dissecting of the phony photographs they put on the internet alone could fill a book. You want to expound a little bit on all his phony photographs that they put up when he was running in the primary and all that, establishing his family relations? And I mean, those photos are laughable once you review them. All the errors you found in them is just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And then recently, there was a guy in September, August of last year who essentially tried to steal your thunder on this story and was using the same photographs but not at all pointing out the fraudulence of them. You're the one who really discovered all this, and I think you're going to have to remind the world that you're the one who dissected these photos.
Well, these articles were published in the Idaho Observer, and they were published on my website, directlightproductions.com. In fact, you published links or articles, portions of articles, on your own website.
Sure.
And those are dated. Now, we're not talking about backdated for the convenience of doing a psyop on people to say, hey, this was on the internet a year before, I was taking the photographs off of places, off of websites, and this was fair use. I was not making money doing this, okay? It fell under the fair use doctrine that everyone likes to recite when they think they're going to get in trouble for publishing photographs or documents that someone wants to have claim to. You know, they create these CIA composites, and then they put something on it like Getty Images, and that's, now you know it belongs to Getty Images, and therefore you don't dare use this right. photograph. But that's all part of the psychological operation. They want to deter someone from actually analyzing and investigating forensically, like you mentioned, the anomalies that occur. And then they say, you can't trust anything that you see on the internet. They lie. This is what they say on TV. Yet on the internet, they'll say, and they say this to the TV audience, we published the birth certificate for all the conspiracy theorists out there that want to see the information. We published it there. So that's the end of the argument now.
Right.
Okay? And like you said, they want to portray people to be some kind of wing nuts if they raise the issue. Well, the issue is we're dealing with fraud. They haven't undone the fraud because they've published the fraud. It's more of the same fraud.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually digging a deeper hole for themselves is what they're doing. Any good old boy that grew up in the backwoods of of Tennessee or Alabama or Arkansas or any place where they're Kentucky, okay, where places where they don't even have electricity could listen to that story and figure out in a heartbeat that something's not right about it. Looking at phony pictures that don't feel right because they have all kinds of artificial effects, special effects added to them, outlining a light figure to make it blend in with a darker background so that you can't see that image is too bright for that setting. Yet I did that anyway, didn't I? I said, if you look at the faces, one of the face, you have a whole family of people or a whole school full of children with white skin, and Barack Obama, who's alleged to be a black man, has the same skin tones as the white people, as the Caucasians. Now, that's not a racial comment. That's just making an observation about an anomaly that's in a document that's being proffered as being true. Or the school children lined up in the schoolyard on the grass in front of a hedge, a line of maybe 20 girls or so, and then what looks like a row of boys casually leaning or squatting or sitting on the ground, kneeling on the ground in front of them. Isn't it usually the other way around? Don't they let the girls sit down? The boys are usually taller, so they have the boys stand in the background. No, they had to fabricate a playground or classroom situation outside, having the girls, having a picture of girls lined up, and then inserting the boys in the front row, squatting down. No one's casting shadows. And when you really look closely at the images, you can see that the kids are maybe 40 feet apart. The front row is 40 feet from the back row because of the perspective and the depth of field, okay? The cameras they used in those days, other than a Hasselblad, did not exhibit those characteristics of field depth when you're taking pictures. Yeah, they had wide-angle lenses and telephoto lenses, but this was taken with a single lens reflex camera, if anything, or a Polaroid camera.
Right.
Okay? This was not a time-lapse photo of two rows of kids spread out over a lawn. And yet, when they put this out, oh, yeah, Barack Obama's in the middle of the group. He's the star, okay? Or the basketball team, where every jersey on the team was a different color. A different shade of a maroon or red. Couldn't tell you what color it was. Or him receiving his diploma from the high school principal and all the anomalies of shadows, lighting, and people in the audience. They put that image in front of another photo and compiled it in front of a group of kids sitting in a completely different environment than these images were. And in fact, you know, compilations are like taking a piece of scissors and cutting out a little cartoon out of a book that you buy. And then you bend the feet back and then it stands up and it looks like a little girl standing or a little boy standing. The cutouts that kids used to play with in kindergarten and first and second grade. That's what his composite photos look like.
Yep.
So this is what they're showing the American public, which is supposed to represent a real event that occurred in the late 1970s. He graduated from the Punahou School. He was born in a hospital. Right now he's been born in three different hospitals in Honolulu.
Wow.
Okay. I examined the original newspaper printing, which was the announcement of his birth, and I noticed that the lines in the newspaper, what the photocopy of the newspaper article, the alleged newspaper article, Right. When you enlarge the text so you can read what it says, the lines begin separating. Okay? We're talking about horizontal and vertical lines that set up columns so that when somebody's reading that, they have all the information in a little box. And each box is the same size. And when you get to Barack Obama, it's all skewed out of place, left, right, up and down, side to side. Okay? So,
wow.
These are the types of anomalies that are basic anomalies that if you're going to fake a document, if you're going to fake text in a book or in a magazine or in a newspaper or as a caption to a photograph, if the photograph has anomalies in it, if shadows are going in different directions, likely the whole thing is fraudulent. So it doesn't matter what the text says.
Yep.
Okay. Or the text saying something that's not true in the photograph disqualifies both again. So what can you say about anyone who would publish photos of themselves that are totally fraudulent and then be angry that anyone would question that, right, with knowing full well that it's the whole thing is a hoax. It's a ruse. And you got caught. You see? So what do they do? All they can do is attack the person that reveals that and the people that talk about it and the people that network and spread the information around. That's the only way they can try to counter it. And they trust that their propaganda television set that they created, this evil box, this electronic box that programs everybody with sounds and images, and images and sounds, and all based on fiction. Everything about television now is fiction. Everything. What they say about the products they sell, what they'll do for you, and then what's going on in the world, what they call news, and then TV programs. Okay. You know, I mean, everything about it is to control people and to put people in an artificial, controlled, programmed state of consciousness, a hypnosis of sorts. And you know, the subliminal methods that are being used are off the charts as well. Visual and audible. And they're audible and visual to the subconscious mind.
That's very important what you just said there. That is the key to the programming.
And probably about 3% of the masses in their fully conscious state.
Yeah.
If that many. Yeah, go ahead, though. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I didn't want to. I just want to emphasize, you're right on target. They're appealing to the subconscious mind. The images and the words happen so fast, the conscious mind doesn't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I just wanted to, you know, comment on the adroitness of that observation. No, please continue.
Well, you know, the issue isn't just about television, but they use that medium to continue the fraud. So the media is playing a role in this fraud as well. And we've said they're going to lie to us. Actually, this clip I played for you earlier in the show is my acknowledgement to the fact that they finally told the truth. We've been talking about reptilians. They came forward. Some aspect of the reptilian reality, the reptilian presence, and the reptilian control on this planet came through the mouths of three newscasters, one in Los Angeles, one in Wisconsin, and the other one in Japan working for a Canadian company out of Toronto. Don't you find that rather synchronistic?
Yeah.
That happened in all those places. So, this is again a continuation. This is a psychological operation to divert people's attention away from what's really going on with the wars in the Middle East, with the death, and destruction that's being caused all over the planet. the pollution, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the bank corruption,
the new storms on the East Coast.
Oh yeah, yeah. The, well, not just on the East Coast. I mean, this is all the way across the eastern half of the United States. The weather people predicted last night in my area wind gusts from 25 to 30 miles an hour. When we got any wind at all, it was in the 68 to 70 mile an hour range, nonstop. These weren't gusts. That was a just a head, you know, the headwinds started from that and continued throughout the night. Now, we know the weatherman can't get the story right. We know that. But you have to ask yourself, what is being done? What weapons are they using now to do this? Tornadoes. There have been several hundred deaths now.
Yes.
Due to the tornadoes in Alabama. You know, we need to be praying for those people, too.
Yes, by all means.
You know, this is, and they had tornadoes in Tennessee and Missouri. 2 weeks ago, they were having tornadoes. They always tell us, well, this is tornado season. Well, you know, those things happen few and far between when they are natural. But I really begin to wonder if this hasn't been going on for 60 or 70 years already with ever-increasing frequency.
There's no doubt the latest, in my estimation, are all artificially created. I have little doubt of that.
Yeah, and, you know, they can't predict the what the wind is going to be or the amount of rain or whether it's going to rain or snow or we're going to have sunshine or clouds. But they can tell us things that they have no way of knowing unless they're told what to say. Absolutely no way.
You can't predict hurricanes. You can't predict tornadoes.
But they do.
It's not possible.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's the fraud of it.
Yeah.
In using focused intent, people can jam their equipment. That's what they need to realize, is that if they meditate on the idea of the equipment failing, it will fail. And specifically, pray towards this goal. The equipment can be closed down if enough focused intent is in that direction.
Yes. So, you know, we get the lies from the media. So, you know, if we go back just for a moment, to my Three Stooges Go to Washington article in part six, I entitled that The Pictures Speak a Thousand Lies. I couldn't call it words because they were not words. They were lies. And I began nitpicking all of the, I say nitpicking, if you want to call it that, all of the family photos from the Dunham clan to the baby pictures and Barack wearing his wedding ring 9 years before he got married, sitting in Central Park, his left leg probably a foot longer than his right leg, and wearing six colors or six tones of black pants, his alleged grandmother's a false suit, we'll call it, had lapels of different sizes that didn't match on the from the left to the right size. His alleged grandfather had two left arms, three arms altogether, because of the absolutely impossible position that his arm and his hand was in that photograph. Someone was leaving us a clue, is what I determined. Someone in the intelligence agencies. And it was the same with the folks in Africa who claimed to be relatives. You had a guy wearing powder blue pants on his left leg and dark purple pants on the right leg. Shadows missing where they should be, shadows existing where they should not be. And that's what really matters about this fraudulent usurper that's in the White House. Not the fact that he presented a piece of paper, but everything that's on it is is nothing but a bunch of lies, a hoax upon the people of the United States and the rest of the world. And I guess that'll wrap it up for tonight, Ken. I appreciate you stepping in for Z.S. Livingstone and anyone that needs a refresher. When they tell you they released the birth certificate, do yourself a favor and your friends and relatives. Go back to my articles at directlightproductions.com. Click on articles. Click on the Three Stooges Go to Washington. Read parts 3 through 7B. And then, if you must, listen to the mainstream media and see if you don't laugh your head off. Because they're just pulling the same fraud upon you that they've been pulling on you since 1961. Ken, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. Too bad we couldn't keep ZS on. And I guess we've lost Ken. So, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio, and tonight's surprise guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. We did have ZS there, but we couldn't keep him long enough to lay the groundwork for what we wanted to discuss tonight. But we'll get him back again.
Right. Good night, Don.
Oh, there you are. Okay. All right. You take care, Ken.
Right. Thanks.
That wraps it up. Now, we want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound, trying to get ZS on the show. Thanks, Seth. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, and my co-host, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.